Good morning. What I'm going to share with you is, this got me all really excited because I've shared a little bit during the course of the Eucharist with it. And so I did was doing the real kind of word study. And the word that I want to look at in Scripture today is the word behold. Like I say, so y'all that come on a regular basis, whenever I've done the Eucharist service, when I get to that very last part of our service, which says, behold the Lamb of God, behold the Lamb of God who takes away the sins of the world. For some time now, that word has so captivated me that it's literally, I have to force myself to go on because I just want to stay in that moment. And so, this morning, luckily I didn't realize the gospel reading because that's such an awesome gospel reading that I would have liked to have spoken on it because it's one of my life scriptures about eating from the children's table and how God so provides for us. But instead, we're going to do this. So I started looking up the word behold and the meanings and all this kind of stuff. So that's kind of what you're going to get out of this. But in John, the first chapter in the 29th is where we get the beginning of stuff. It says, the next day he saw Jesus coming. This is John the Baptist and why he's baptizing. And he said, behold, the Lamb of God who takes away the sins of the world. And of course, that is where we get that part of in our Eucharist service is, behold, the Lamb of God who takes away the sins of the world. And so I begin to look up this word behold in the Greek. I've got which you can get. I've got this little app that uses the New American Standard Version. And you can just kind of hold your finger in the world and it pops up a little other box that gives you a definition and also the Strong's definition, which is in the Greek, and tells you the Greek word and all that, which is fun to do. I don't know what that means for me because I still don't understand most of it. But anyway, in this word behold, there are several different ways that they spell it when they're using it in Scripture. And I've only really looked at basically three because I got so caught up in them. But it's, in all three instances, it's kind of rooted in the same word. And it's an imperative word. Well, it's been a long time since I took any kind of language or English or anything else. And so I was like, I kind of thought I understood imperative. So I went up and looked up what imperative, the definition for imperative is. And this is the basic definition of vital importance, all important, and critical. You know, when you start thinking of that, when you see that word behold used in Scripture or used in the Eucharist, that when that word, what that word is saying is stop. This is vitally important. This is critically important. This is the most important thing of high value and extremely critical. Stop. That's kind of what imperative is trying to is saying when it's used as a word, as behold. So just think about that. Is that when Jesus came to John, John basically said, hey, everybody, listen, look up, look, this is the Lamb of God that will take away your sins. What a revelation. And that's the revelation, if we could have it every time we hear that in our Eucharist, is, behold the Lamb of God. You see, in the monastic traditions, there's this thing they call contemplation, which just means like you just think, basically, just sitting around thinking. And it's a very high thing that they do, and I totally don't understand the whole deal. But it is the deal is that, like, if we would just think about it, just think about that one thing, the Lamb of God. Just think on that. You could spend your life right there contemplating that one thing, the Lamb of God. Because the whole thing, everything hinges off of that. Is He's the Lamb of God, Jesus. Just contemplating Him, thinking about Him. And the more that we would see Him, the more radically our lives would be transformed. By just gazing upon Him, our lives would be totally radically changed. So then I went to 1 John 3:1. It's funny that all my scripture comes out of the writings of John that I'm using today. But in John 3:1, then the New American Standard says, see how great a love. I guess I need to turn down and read the whole thing. Too many things in my Bible. It says, "See how great a love the Father has bestowed on us, that we would be called children of God, and such we are. For this reason the world does not know us, because it did not know Him." In the King James Version it reads, "Behold, what manner of love." But, so I looked this up and to see why King James Jews behold and New American Standard Jews see how great. And it's because it's, again, that word is, has so much meaning in that one word. And actually you could, if you go through and you get all the definitions for the words of a see, how great, and love, and you kind of put all those definitions, this scripture would kind of read like this. And I'm not saying this is an exact translation, okay? That's not it. I'm not a translator. But this is the meanings all put together of these few words. And it is stare at, look closely, perceive, take heed how great that is. What possibility, sort of, dear love, love that is affectionate. So see again, it is that think. You know, and too many times, especially one of the criticisms of liturgical sacramental churches is that it's just a religious thing. It's just dead. It doesn't have life in the liturgy. Are you kidding me? Are you kidding me? That one word, behold, should light a fire in every heart that hears that word. Behold the Lamb of God. If that doesn't light a fire in the liturgy, it's not the liturgy that's dead. Okay? It's the hardness of our heart. Because that should just, and that's what's happened to me. And that's why I'm like, I'm so pumped about this. I really am. Because it does. That's what it started doing. It just started grabbing me. And I didn't understand the whole grab. I'm just now starting to get a little bit of that, why I got grabbed. But that's it. Behold. Oh my gosh. All of Christianity focuses towards that part. Whatever stream of Christianity you come out of, all the ones that I've been involved with, which have been all the Protestants, a lot of the Protestants, the Baptist, Methodist, Pentecostals, it all focuses to Jesus. So behold. Behold that. Behold Christ. And so that's what John was saying there. And then in the book of Revelations, and this is, went there, which, like, I have to confess, I avoid the book of Revelation like the plague. You know, because I grew up in that charismatic Pentecostal world where everybody had a, you know, like everybody wrote a book about Revelation and the meaning of this and that and all this other. And what I discovered was, like, they all disagreed with each other. So, like, I figured, well, I wasn't smart enough to sort that out, so I just stayed out. I just kind of stay out of all of that to some degree. So for me, for the Lord to draw me into Revelation, just show me something in Revelation is always a surprise to me. It always encourages me that, okay, I might get something someday. And so when I turned to the book of Revelation, you know what I got? Same thing. In Revelations 21, it's verse 3, and it says, "I heard a loud voice from the throne saying," guess what it said? "Behold, the tabernacle of God is among men." Again, if that doesn't light your fire, that was the first thing that Jesus preached. That's what John the Baptist preached, is the kingdom of God. Well, the tabernacle is the dwelling place of God. And so the voice from heaven, God's voice, says, "Behold, the tabernacle of God is among men. He will dwell among them, and they will be His people, and God Himself will be among them." Now that's got to fire you up, right? I mean, He's here. We don't have to think about it. We don't have to wonder about it. He's proclaimed it. If you don't feel it, that's your problem, not His, because He's here. You know, and that's where we have to do what we have to do, which is we do a confession, we get before the Lord and go, "Lord, open my mind, open my heart." You know. One of the things in our prayer book is, "Creating me a clean heart and renew a right spirit within me, Lord." That's the prayer That's the prayer when we don't get it, when we don't see it, and we're not feeling it or whatever. It's, Lord, it's not you, it's me. And here, and what a tremendous promise in Revelation. And when we behold God, we should be like kind of getting all of this. It should be a part of the vision. It's not too often what we do is we tunnel vision into the some little small thing. And then God will come along and he just blows that up and we begin to see the whole thing, some of the whole thing. And so this is a tiny bit of what this is. And he will wipe away every tear, which we all, you hear this, use it every passing of a saint. He will wipe away every tear from their eyes, and there will no longer be any death. There will no longer be any mourning or crying or pain. The first things have passed away. And he who sits on the throne said, guess what he said? Behold, I am making all things new. When I saw that, I was like, oh, he's not trying to take the broken thing and fix it. So he didn't try to fix me. He made me new. That's why you have to be born again. Because I know I'm pretty much unfixable in my sinful, normal state. Only the newness of God, the very presence of God, do I have my hope in redemption. Not in anything within me, for sure. And he said, write, for these words are faithful and true. Then he said to me, it is done. It is done. I am the Alpha and the Omega, the beginning and the end. And I will give to the one who thirsts from the springs of water of life without cost. He who overcomes will inherit these things, and I will be his God, and he will be my son. Is that awesome? Right there. So when you hear that word behold used, behold those things. Don't necessarily behold what the pieces and parts of what we do in the liturgy. Those are important, but, and they're there to help you to be a visual. But just think, behold. And that one word is so much that we could just keep, I think we could unpack that for the rest of our lives. So anyway, that's like, I hope y'all found that exciting. I hope that lights your fires. It has mine. And I'm looking forward to it. And it's like really, I came over here kind of late from normal because I was so absorbed. And I just want to go back now and get the Strong's and look at every time behold is used and in the context that it's used in and what it's saying. Because I think that's the thing, is that we just need to see. We just need to see Jesus. We just need to behold his love for us. We just need to so get that, because that is what will radically change our lives. You know, that in itself, his unfathomable love for us. Amen. In the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit.